and welcome back to episode 13 of Limitless with Nadia. I am so excited to get into today's episode with you guys. We have a special guest, my very good friend, Monica Bialobreski. Did I get that right?
You got it right, baby.
Yes, amazing. So Monica is a good friend of mine. Like I said, she is an artist. I'm really excited because me and Monica have conversations literally all of the time about relationships and life and just advice. And there's so many golden nuggets that I'm excited to share with you guys today. So let's go ahead. First of all, thank you, Monica, for joining us.
Hello. Thank you for having me. It's like the classic thing to say, but seriously.
Yes. No, honestly, it's usually the same every time, but that's okay. So the first question I want to ask you to go ahead and just dive right in is, when you notice people are struggling with relationships, which is super common, I think a lot of people have a hard time navigating their love lives and their friendships and like social dynamics. What do you feel like is the number one advice that applies to like everybody that will help them improve the quality of their relationships?
Yes, that is a loaded question. So I'm just going to go with what comes to mind because, you know, I've been in one or two relationships now, some long, some short. But I think like two things really come to mind. Number one is ultimately, and this is the cheesiest thing to say, but it is very true, your relationship with yourself really helps dictate the relationship with everybody else, whether that be like a partner, friendships, family. Mm-hmm. And then the second one, I think it's important to say, because I feel like it's, I don't hear this narrative a lot, but like life is messy too. Like give yourself grace of like figuring shit out, because that is the point. Like the whole process of life is the point of life. And I think, you know what I mean? I'm like, I think we get so upset at ourselves. Like I should have done this. I should have done better. It's like, I agree. Also, like, you know, I have placements in my chart that also make me very critical of myself.
Virgo rising. Let's just put that out there.
I'm like a recovering perfectionist, but like this, I think it's just helpful to pair that with whatever else you're working through, because, you know, we have to give ourselves grace that we're just trial and erroring at all times. And what you thought works for you when you're 22 is different to 28, to 35, to whatever.
Yes.
So you're just evolving like your kind of like toolkit, your like book of like code. And that's absolutely okay.
I think that's so important, especially because like you said, like a lot of us are so hard on ourselves for not handling certain situations a certain way. Like, oh, maybe like you were in a relationship with somebody where you weren't being treated right. And everybody, once they evolve and they know that that wasn't right, they're like, oh my God, I was such a dumbass. Like I should have been better. But it's like at every moment in time, you are doing your best with what you know. And if you knew better, you would have shown up better. But the whole point, and this is, I say this to people all the time, it's literally about the life experiences. Mm-hmm. Like you are being, with every challenge comes an opportunity to learn more about yourself and learn about how you want to move forward with intention. And I think that is really the first thing, like letting go of everything that you've done in the past and the way that you've handled things in the past, and just being open to any experience that comes in now, knowing that you are always doing your best with what you know. So it's not like the priority is like doing the right thing or like making the right choice. Like you need to follow what feels right and intuitive for you in the moment.
Yes.
Because that's the experience you're being called to have.
I couldn't agree more. I actually saw this post on Instagram and I sent it to a few of my friends about this notion of feeling connected to your body and making decisions. And I think that's very hard. Like, I think people are trying to learn how to do that. I think it comes easier to some than others. Mm-hmm. And that is like, you know, I kind of always say there's things I logically know, but if my body is pulling towards something, there's a reason why it's getting pulled to that. Of course, I'm not speaking about like abusive like situations and things like that. That's like specifically different. But I remember when I was with my long-term partner and like, you know, beautiful on paper relationship, all this stuff. And I could start feeling like I was having thoughts of like, I don't know if this is right, whatever. And I remember one day I woke up and I swear to God, I was like, I'm going to puke. Like my body was like hyperventilating in itself. And like, I was like, I'm going to puke. I got to leave. And I lived with my partner at the time. It was also like COVID. I'm like, where the fuck do I, like, I just like felt kind of stuck. I was like, what the fuck do I do? And I called a friend and I was just saying, I have these feelings. And she was like, kind of calming me down as if it was like a panic attack. It wasn't, it was not a panic attack because I've had those, but it was just like this feeling.
But I think it's just your body knowing something that your mind isn't aware of yet.
Yeah, or accepting, right? And I always say it takes like mind, body, and spirit to really accept something to go through. So it's like your mind is there, absolutely, but your maybe your body's not there yet, but then it's starting to signal. So that's why it's like, you know, when people get over breakups, it's like it does take time sometimes. I mean, we can never tell how long it's going to take, but for all three things of those to match up and be like, okay, we're good, takes like that just takes time, right? But being more in tune with your body in feeling things out is just so helpful, because it's like all your friends could be like, this guy, I don't know about him, I don't know, but there's something there. And also nobody really knows what goes on between you and this person, yes, right? Like that dynamic, which I think is also really important to say. Yes. It's two people coming together is always unique. Like you cannot duplicate that, right? It's two different energies that doesn't exist anywhere, yeah, else. And if you feel like there's some lesson or you're drawn to it, I think also while, you know, asking yourself helpful questions of like, why am I attracted to this? Or is this like healthy? Yeah. Like, why am I attracted to this? Like, yeah, like I go through scenarios for sure now too, where it's like, I'm like, that's not good behavior, but I see that I am outweighing that by all this other good stuff. And then I'm like, I'm just letting myself think about it and look at it, and I can see my body's, yeah. And my body's maybe respond. And exactly. It's just like, you're just kind of like taking it all in. And I think you eventually get to the point where you like things line up and you can like make a call on something. But again, yeah, it goes back to like, everything is a process. Like you just need to, yes, go through stuff. Like there's no running away from it. And we, exactly, shouldn't, because like life is beautiful. That's the freaking point.
Literally. And I think that's a lot of people miss on that magic of like you having this experience is magical. Even if it is, yeah, confusing, or it's like, it's a little bit dark, like you're having the experience for a reason, and it's important to look at it from that lens. Yeah. And I think like you said, and there's something specific, you said that your body was signaling to you that something was off and your mind was not on the same page yet. And I think this, mm-hmm, is the part that everybody like messes up on is, the second you get a weird feeling in a relationship with somebody, that is your intuition, because you can't, it's your, mm-hmm, intuition is what you know, but you can't explain. When you have this feeling inside and your body is connected to your intuition, it's this like your body will literally have all the answers to everything that your mind does not have access to yet. So when you're getting this feeling of like, ooh, something about this person or this relationship feels off, it's when you ignore that you, mm-hmm, dig yourself into a hole that you could avoid. So it's like, it's about learning how to honor the things that come up for you within your body and things that you're just feeling, even if you can't pinpoint it. Your mind does not have to be on the same page yet. As long as you know it in your gut and in your intuition, it's like, there's a reason you're feeling that way. And it's like, when you ignore that, again, this is when you get in a situation where it's like, everything works on paper, but something is still off. And it's like, we're not meant to make decisions based on what makes sense on paper. We're meant to make decisions based on what feels like in alignment for us. And I think if women specifically learned how to build that trust with themselves, which is where, yes, all of this circles back to, that's where everything starts to shift, is literally learning how to trust when you intuitively feel like something is off.
Yes. I mean, I really think it's such an important skill, because,
yeah,
also, there's like the whole, you know, I think people get confused now about like, what does intuition feel like? Like, I think, yes, there's a lot of cloudedness of like, is this an anxious attachment? Is that the feeling that I'm feeling? Because that doesn't, is that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm, I can see why now it's actually harder to get in tune with that.
Yeah.
And I think the best way is really like the building trust thing is really important for this, because you can start doing small things to test your intuition, to understand mm-hmm, what it feels like for you. And I think people, like, I think it's all kind of, we have the same experience, but it's a little bit different for everybody.
It's actually, I would actually argue that human design can shed a lot of insight, okay, as to how your intuition comes up. Because, and the only reason I say that is because I've seen it and I've experienced it like on so many levels, because everyone's intuition is not going to show up the same way. It's different for, mm-hmm, everybody. Like if your intuition is in your gut, for example, it's going to be more of like that physiological feeling of, ooh, something in my body literally just feels off. There might be like physiological noises that you make like, ooh, or like, I don't really know, like something is off. That's literally your intuition speaking to you. But if your emotional intuition, like myself, and we'll get into yours as well, because obviously I have your whole ass map memorized. But so like mine is emotional intuition. So what that means is I won't know instantaneously. I need to give myself some time to get emotional clarity, experience the full spectrum of emotions associated with that particular event. And then I will arrive to the conclusion that makes the most sense, because I've allowed myself to go through the flow of the emotions of it. you, for example, you're, I believe, instinctive intuition, which means that you, and you've said this to me before, where you have little voices in your head almost, like not in a weird way, but just in like an encouraging way of like, this person is not right. Something is off. Go do this. Avoid doing that. And it's like, and I remember, like I said, I think you've told me that you've had that experience. And it's like, well, that's because that's how your intuition shows up.
Yeah. It's like, for me, it's like a little voice and in, and it fills my body. Like it moves through me. I remember I had been looking to like, I can't even speak. I'm so excited about it because it's happened so many times. And I think when you start to learn, you know, start to experiment with yourself of like, is this my intuition? It's important to remember those moments because then you have proof of like, when you feel something, okay, that was my intuition. And so now I'm like, you know, I take stock. It's like when I was going through what I was with my ex-partner, I had those moments. I remember my dad, he's in the hospital. And I remember 1 week, I was just like, I'm starting to feel like something's going off. And there was one day I just like, again, this like wave went through my body. I couldn't get out of bed. I was like crying. I was like, I just felt something's off. And he got worse the next day. And I was like, I just feel things. Mm-hmm. And I now know what it is because I've tried, like I'm keeping stock of the times that I've been quote unquote right. Now it scares me. I'm just like, I just like get a vibe and I'm like, mwah. Like
you just know immediately. And now you're trying to like process it before it's even here.
Yeah. It's a crazy tool. And I think it's you really have to work at it because it's so easy for it to get clouded. It gets clouded for me too. Like
it's just because the what ifs start to take over.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I don't have any evidence of this yet. And this is when you get too much. So the way I usually explain it is you have intuition and you have logic. Those are the two ways that you make decisions. You make decisions on things that you feel but can't see yet, or you make decisions on things that you can see and you tangibly there's evidence that, yes, this makes sense right now. But it's like if you lean too much to the side of logic, then you ignore the intuitive urges that you get for things and then that's how it gets clouded. Because your mind and your heart, or not your mind, your heart, your body is telling you, this is the truth. This is a fact right now. But because you don't see any tangible evidence of it, you're like, well, but what if I'm just being a little out of pocket? Like maybe I'm really just, you know, and then you start to doubt and you start to question, but it's like, you need to, and like you said, there are small ways to build trust in that and to start like strengthening that muscle of using your intuition. And it's actually, so you said you keep track of it, which is so good. I have I'm designing a journal and one of the pages is the signs and synchronicities where it's like every time you get the urge or you get confirmation or you realize that you were right about something, write it down and come every time you doubt yourself, come back and look at it and look at all the times your intuition has told you things before you had evidence of it in your 3D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm at a point now where I tell my friends, I'm like, just wait because I feel it. I'm like, well, I told you it's going to happen. It might be 2 years, but I'm playing the long game.
Literally be a psychic. You're like, literally, but you can turn yourself into a psychic that way. It's really
yeah. Funny. It's like weird with that when you kind of get in tune, but again, everybody's different. So I feel like I talk a lot about this with my friends too. It's like, we just have different ways that we're, you know, feeling things out. So I think it's important to remember that like yours is not going to be the same as others, but I did like, there was like a TikTok about the blue feather. Did you see that? It's like
did that. I put that visualization on my store Instagram story a few months ago and people were like, oh my God, this is insane.
Oh, it's insane. But I was like, I'm going to test it out. But I thought, I was like, I'm going to do it with something just like completely random. I'm gonna ask this question, whatever. And I did edible arrangements. And like, cause I was like, I haven't seen an edible arrangement in like, I don't even know, 15 years. I was like, is the company even around? And then literally a couple days after, I went out of the city to go roller skating for someone's birthday. And I pull into the parking lot, and there's 4 edible arrangement trucks.
Like you literally can't make this up. You literally can't make this up. After you haven't seen them in how long?
Like 15 years. I didn't even think they were a company. I had not seen them. No, and that literally. Was, I mean, there is, you can also maybe argue there is like, I don't know the term. There is like a science term, quote unquote, that like, say, for example, when you're looking for a car, like
it's that you're RAS.
Okay. That's what it is. Yeah. So like I remember when I was buying a car, I finally went with a Toyota RAV and then I only see Toyota RAVs. So I'm like up there. Yeah. So it's, you know, there's some of that, but I don't know.
I think it's a combination because here's the thing. this is the phrase that I always use, where awareness goes, energy flows. Mm-hmm. So not only are you prepping your reticular activating system to actually flag your attention to the thing that you've been thinking about, but it's also that your energy is attracting that experience. So it's a hand in hand kind of a thing. It's both.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, but it literally just shows you how powerful you are.
Like, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy. I was listening to because we were talking about Joe Dispenza. We pulled up his chart.
Wait, I pulled up his chart like 3 days ago because I was so curious to see if he had Aquarius placements. What did you find?
We did it on the phone. Do you remember we pulled it up?
Oh my God, then it was with you that I pulled that up. Did we find anything? I can't remember.
Yeah, we did. We thought he had an Earth, and then we thought fire. He's an Aries sun.
Oh, yes. Virgo moon.
And I think Aquarius rising or something. We thought maybe Aquarius. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, since we talked about him a couple of days ago, I was like, oh, I should listen to like some podcast just to get back because I hadn't heard. Yeah. Like I hadn't listened. And yeah, he was basically talking about all of this. It was Jay Shetty. Jay Shetty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His podcast.
He's the best.
Yeah. And he was saying like, your brain has no idea between your, like, what's real and what isn't. Like, what you say in your imagination is, like, literally true. And to understand that power, I think you can't really, like, understand it until you start testing it and seeing it. And you're like, holy shit. But I still can't, like, it is still very difficult to keep up that, quote unquote, we'll say power or whatever, that strength or that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, life is hard. Relationships are messy. It's, like, it's very, you know, we get into, you know, emo phases. I am I'm a Scorpio. I'm just like crying in the corner of myself all the time. So like, it's, yeah, important to keep those like, you know, practices in place so you can keep that, like that rigor of being so like in love with yourself. And that was like one of the first things that we talked about of like one of the important relationship things of like, maintaining that relationship with yourself so you can, you know, vibrate high.
Exactly. And I think going back to that, I think there are so many ways that you can, or so many reasons why your relationship with yourself is the most important. And something that comes to mind immediately for me and like within my own journey is when you are like, when you really value yourself and you respect yourself a lot, you become your own protection mechanism against people who will treat you badly or like against relationships that aren't serving you, because you will hold yourself to a certain standard of like, I will not allow somebody to treat me this way. I will not set myself up to be in this dynamic. I'm walking away from that. So it's like, once you again develop that love for yourself, where it's like, no, like, and this is what I actually used to do is I used to struggle with really low self-esteem. And that's why I would get into these relationships where I was treated very poorly. I mean, I attracted that experience because of my low self-worth and I was given an opportunity to work through it. But when I was in that point, it was really hard to advocate for myself because I didn't love myself enough. I was constantly giving myself up at the expense of this relationship to make sure that they stayed around. But then what I started doing was I started noticing that the way I would show up for my friends when my friends were having relationship problems was so different than the way that I would show up for myself. But I'm like, why can't I integrate that? Like, I would think about my best friend. If my best friend was in the relationship that I'm in right now and she was being treated this way, would I stand for that? No, I'd be ready to whoop somebody's ass. I would literally be like, who are you and what the fuck do you think you're doing? You know? So it's like, I started to think to myself, like, why can't I show up for myself that way? Like, why don't I love myself enough to say and do the things for that I would do for my friends, but for me? So it's like, I started almost visualizing me outside of myself interacting in this relationship and being treated poorly and me being like outside of my body and looking that situation and being like, oh, hell no, that is absolutely not how we're going to do things here. And like advocating for myself from that perspective. And so I think it's so much easier sometimes if you are that kind of a person who is really there for your friends, but not there for yourself, like start switching the roles.
Totally. It's like a good, I mean, but even that perspective, like you getting there, it takes time, right? Like you probably worked on yourself. You probably went through some things to get in there. So it's hard to say like, what's the thing that gets people to realize. I think the point is to keep trying, right? Like you're like, if you know that you're trying to reflect, like I'll give an example too, because I have some friends like, man, if they want to cut out somebody, like,
so I easy. Mean,
like, and very early on, like just, you know, dating a bunch of people, whatever. Right. Yeah. I am not like this in the sense of like, I'm going to be honest, like, I know. Well, I'm like, I don't like that many people, you know, I want that special sparkle. And I'm like waiting. And then I find, you know, that one like guy by himself in the corner, just like, whatever. Yeah, so I'm like a hopeless romantic too. I'm just like, wow, this is so beautiful. Like, mm-hmm. like what are the odds? Like life is short. Let's like go for it, right? Yeah. And I do like really love love. And, you know, especially if you see signs and things are going well and then it gets derailed. Mm-hmm. Like for some of us, it's harder to get back to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Just because it takes time does not mean you don't love yourself. Like I even tell myself, like and now that I'm dating, like I broke up with my partner, I'm dating in my 30s and I'm at a point where like, I love myself so much. Like I haven't been yes. lonely one day. Like I'm like, this I is sick. But, I do have like, it's a different feeling. I'm like upset by a situation and I'm like, oh, I really wish this could have worked out. But then I sit with it. I'm like, but I know it's not for me. Like I just yes. know. And yes. again, it's like the mind, body, spirit has to all align. I'm like, I have to mm-hmm. feel the things. Like I'm obviously upset by it. I'm saddened mm-hmm. by it. And that's mm-hmm. fine. But I just know, like when you really love yourself, first off, you have your own back and you love spending time with yourself. Yes. So it's like, who cares? Like,
literally, like,
it's amazing. And then like, you know that there's going to be something better for you. Like, and you really mm-hmm. believe it. And again, that all just comes back to if you truly love yourself. But it's still like, I'm saying it's still not easy. You just have to keep practicing.
It's not overnight.
And doing it.
Yeah, yeah, it is something that you have to kind of keep chipping away at. And this is what I always say, even when it comes to like the manifestation process, things change via micro shifts. It's not like you're going to wake up tomorrow and your whole reality is different. It's like even your self-evolution is incremental. It's like little gradual shifts where yeah. it's like maybe this time you handled something a little bit differently than you would have before, just a little bit. And it's like, that's enough because that's progress. And it's about looking at that as progress and not expecting yourself to have this ginormous shift overnight. Because yes. these are like thought patterns, emotional patterns that you've been wired with for like years, probably from your childhood. So it's like, be patient, give yourself some
time. Yeah. And also like, I hate to break it to everybody, but it's like going to be like forever. In the sense of like, just like always, you know, I was talking to my friend the other day and she's like, mm-hmm. like, hopefully like in our 50s, we'll be like truly aligned. I'm like, I think you just discover other things. Like, you yeah. know, I'm very good friends with my mom who's 71 years old mm-hmm. and she had a breakdown the other day. She gives like the best advice. She's wise. She's 71. She lived around the world, this and that. Mm-hmm. And, she's had a breakdown and I was like kind of shocked at it because she always has her shit together. And I just like, you know, calmed her down and I just sat and I gave her back the piece of advice she always gives me, which is, mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it. I don't know if it's contextually relevant, but it's a very helpful practice for me. Like when something is bothering you and you're having a really hard time letting go, if you are mm-hmm. a visual person, my mom has this like visual where you just walk to the, like the ledge of a river and you take mm-hmm. that and you just drop in the river and you just watch it go. Sometimes Ooh. I do it 10 times and I'm like always like watching that. It go. Yeah, yeah, it really helps me. And so I said that to her and she was like, oh, okay, thank you. And she was like frazzled, whatever. And then the next day she's like, wow, like yesterday I was like so surprised at that. And I'm just realizing that here I am like with my 32-year-old daughter, like teaching me stuff like every day too. And like how to do you know what I mean? So I'm basically the story is like, you just never stop having to figure things out. Next day she was like, I also sent her home with some chocolate, which always, I know she Aww. Makes me, she's like, I don't want to eat that. And I know in the car, she's like, yum, 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 yum. I'm like, so happy. Yeah. The next day she was like, I'm so grateful that I'm still learning from my 32-year-old daughter. Like I still have Aww. These things and I have someone to learn from too. And like, I don't yeah. have it figured out. And so that's yeah. the point too. I think for me, I get like, it's so overwhelming. And I think thinking that there's this end point is actually.
Destination.
Yeah, it's like it makes me more stressed, to be honest. Yeah. And it's like to know that I'm going to be in this and I'm the whole point is like lessons and doing better each time. And then mm-hmm. again, like each time you go through something, mm-hmm. you're just growing that bond with yourself, that muscle with yourself, that trust within yourself. And then you just yeah. like, I mean, no wonder like so many women are like so single, happy, loving life, because it's like when you love yourself, you're like, I'm the best.
Honestly, that's yeah. literally how it goes is like. It is nonlinear. And I think when you make it linear, you set yourself up for failure because like you said, it's stressful. You're always assuming that there is should be some kind of arbitrary point in time in the future where, I have it all figured out now. Every loose end is tied. Everything is all coming. And it's never going to reach that point because your mom is what, in her 70s and she's still having a little like mental breakdown about something. It's like, that's just the nature of life. That's the nature mm-hmm. of the human experience is that things are constantly shifting. You are constantly evolving and you're never going to have it all figured out because you're not supposed to have it all figured out. You're literally here to learn. That's literally why you are on Earth. And something else that I want to touch on is When you said that you were feeling like off about the relationship and you were like, mm-hmm. okay, even though I've been romanticizing it and yes, it would be really nice, I know ultimately that there's something within this that's not in my best good because I feel off about it. And you said like, you know, I value my alone time. I value, you know, spending time with myself. And I think this is why it's so important to build a good relationship with yourself. Because if you're always coming from a place of lack of, I have this void, I'm not good enough alone, and I need somebody to come fix it for me and make my life feel like it's worth living, that's where you trip up. Because then you create this dependency to be with this person. Mm-hmm. And then you're constantly showing up from a place of, oh my God, this isn't going to be here forever. And I need to make sure that I can keep them around. But it's like, when you love yourself so much and you spend time with yourself where you feel good and you're like, take yourself out on dates or have yourself a nice little night in. Like, you always have that to fall back on because you're creating value in your life that is not dependent on somebody else's presence. Like, you feel good and you know how to create happiness for yourself alone. And then your standard automatically gets higher. The bar sets itself higher because now the question is, are you going to add value to my life or are you going to remove value from my life? And if you're removing value from my life, bam, then I know that you are not in alignment with me. That's just, it can literally be that simple.
Yeah. And I like two things on that too. It's, mm-hmm. I think like it's important to just like know when it's a distraction, right? Like
yep.
I now I'm at a point where it's like, okay, I'm doing my things and whatever. And then I'll have, you know, daydreaming this and that. Blah, blah, blah. And like yeah. when it starts to get too, you know, when I start doing like too many tarot card readings, I'm like, all right.
We should probably take a break.
Yeah. Or whatever it is. But I'm like, okay, there's yeah. like, I'm running away from something and I'm mm-hmm. using this as a distraction, this person yes. or whatever. What is it? Let's address mm-hmm. it, whatever. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, and I see this a lot on TikTok, mm-hmm. which is so cool. I wish I had TikTok in my 20s, to be honest, because right? like you just learn so much from other women. I think it's so fucking cool. But
I'm
for
so
me,
my habit.
Yeah, it's incredible. For me in my 20s, I really wanted to learn how to be alone. I was kind of the girl that was like, I didn't want to be in a relationship. I was kind of like hoo hoo ha ha dating guys too. But you know, yeah. I moved to Germany. I was like, I need to know, like, for some reason for me, it was like, I need to know I can do this on my own, like, or mm-hmm. whatever that is. Right. And I am really grateful for that time. And then I got into, like, I guess you could say, like, my first serious relationship. When I mm-hmm. broke up with my partner, I didn't have a fear of, like, being alone. Like, and immediately when I got out of it, I was like, yay! Like, I was just like,
I'm free. Not,
that sounds bad. My ex is beautiful. He's an amazing person. But like, it was just like, oh, I'm back. And I just wasn't lonely. And I think, and at that moment, I was like, wow, all that work I did before paid off in this moment. And I'm sure there was still some in the relationship too, of like making sure, you know, you figure out how you're like independent together, if that's an important value to you, mm-hmm. which it is for me. But, I do see a lot of like, yeah, TikToks of like 20 women in their 20s and 30s about like, how are they doing things to like build that like life alone and make it beautiful and full. And it is really important. Like, cause it's doing scary things. Doing scary things, again, builds mm-hmm. trust in you. If you show yourself, and there's so many ways to build trust. Yeah. Going like, I'm going to go to the bar by myself and have a drink and read a book. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking terrified and I'm going to do it. And you're like, no, I did it. Oh my God.
And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I can do it. I can, when I say something like, I can push myself and I know I can, and that's building trust. Even things like, I find for me, it's like, if I say,
I just had a really cute realization that I need to say before I forget.
Okay.
But I think it's really interesting that I feel like the way that you build trust with yourself has a lot to do with your moon sign. Because for you as a Libra moon, going out to a social setting alone and thriving, building trust. You don't need to rely on a network of people to go with you to feel comfortable. And then I was thinking about mine because I'm like trying to connect the dots with the moon sign. And I'm like, as a Taurus moon, it's all about being my own emotional comfort zone and creating a sensory experience for myself that is like enjoyable.
So it's like, wow, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. I think that your moon sign can give you a lot of insight as to how to show up for yourself and really build trust with yourself.
I think that's actually, now that you said it, I'm getting like all of these, like Libra is so people pleaser, like, and like, I'm all about trying to create more boundaries and stuff. That's all, again, building trust within yourself. Good point. I'm going to just have to like Google again, more Libra.
I think I was going to say, maybe because I know there's a lot of people who will be listening to this episode that are like into astrology or at least trying to get into it. So maybe we can talk about each of the moon signs and how, like maybe how they can build trust with that moon sign, an activity or something. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's freaking do it.
I'm so excited. I love this.
Like, I definitely feel okay. Well, let's just start with Libra and Taurus because that's what came up first. Yeah.
So Libra, I think for you, what would your, you've said the bar experience, but like,
yeah, like going to the movies alone, going to art galleries alone, you're right. Social setting things alone pushes me in a way. I mean, it did when I first did it. It's like, it was oddly comforting too, but I think maybe because I'm a Scorpio too, so I'm kind of like a loner too in some way. Or like, I kind of like, you know, the moody, deep person in the corner.
Yeah, I'm emo, leave me alone.
I know. I'm not really like that, but kind of. But yeah, I think you're right. Social setting things. And then I think like, because Libras are such people pleasers, like I know I struggle with this, like saying yes to everyone, giving everybody time. So creating boundaries and like, you know, protecting your space, I think, is also a really good way to build trust for Libras. Every Libra, yes. Libra rising, Libra moon, Libra sun. I know all of those. I have many friends in all those placements. We have confusing problems.
That's definitely the lesson for Libras is learning how to create a healthy sense of self and individuality and not really having to focus a lot on people pleasing or like making sure everybody else approves of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point. I would say for Taurus moon, it's about creating an emotional safety net for yourself and not have, because the thing for, I feel like for Taurus moons is like, I hate the feeling of not being in control of my emotions. And I hate the feeling of having to turn to somebody else who I know is not going to understand me or my emotions for validation, because I'm not going to get that. So it's like, I like learning for me how to deal with when I'm in a really emotional spot. And I feel my emotions really deeply. I'm Pisces stellium, obviously.
I know. I was like, damn, you're all over there. And then the Taurus moon.
And Taurus moon like really anchors me, but it's like I really feel like creating, like I said, that emotional safety net where I know when I'm feeling extremely low, I know how to come and save myself. Like I know how to create, and specifically for Taurus moons, comfort comes with sensory experiences. For example, I like to light a candle and maybe make a hot cup of tea and sit and journal it out. Or just creating some kind of a sensory environment for myself where I'm like, okay, I feel cozy. I feel like, or like for me, it's also having a night in my room with all my favorite comfort snacks. Or,
oh my God, cooking a good meal. That is such a Taurus thing.
Cooking a
good meal.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes. Cooking a fun meal by yourself. Kind of like, it's creating a safe emotional and physical like sensory environment for yourself where you're like, okay, I feel safe. I feel like I can come home to this experience.
Interesting. Taurus and Libra are both Venus rules. Venus so rules. I think it's like we both do the same thing, but in different contexts. Taurus at home, Libra out.
Yeah. No, literally. Oh my God. Wait. Creating beauty at home versus like in social settings.
Sharing beauty with yourself outside. Yeah. Like eating a meal at a restaurant by yourself and things like that. Yeah. I love that. God, that's hilarious.
I love it. Yes. Okay. And then
we solved it.
We literally did. And that's why part of my coaching program literally is it teaches you how to rely on certain aspects of your chart to figure out how do I implement this? Like how do, like,
why is it so true?
It literally is. And like with, for example, rising signs, like I always tell people, when you're trying to nail down what is my aesthetic, what is my style, look at your rising sign. As a Virgo rising, I'm very much like chic, sophisticated, like intelligent, you know, that kind of vibe. And I'm able to like pick my outfits more concisely because I'm like, okay, this is what I have in mind. It's a Virgo rising like aesthetic. So it's fun.
How do you think, okay, but I want to continue on the moon thing, but I'm curious because I'm also a Virgo rising. So we can compare and contrast because I would actually say some people say my style is also like, I have been told that I've been like messy, elegant, which I think is funny.
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Because people also say your Venus can also influence your style, right? It's like your style, your rising, or your Venus and rising.
Venus is more what makes you, like what attracts people most to you. Like that's the aesthetic you want to go to if you want to be more magnetic. Whereas the rising is just like, this is my identity. This is the vibe that I usually give off. So it's like for you, with a Virgo rising, I can definitely see like the messy, but like sophisticated and intelligent kind of a look. But I feel like that has... I feel like that could have to do with the Scorpio,
Venus. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think that's really interesting how it does show up a little bit differently. I will also say within, because I'm thinking about my moon sign, like for me, it's also about like I like to appear luxurious. Like, I love right. having that vibe. Like, you know how when I cut my hair, everyone's like, oh my God, it's giving rich mom. And I'm like, oh my yeah. God, that's literally my aesthetic. Like, bougie. Like, I love bougie. So, and maybe Moonsign does have something to do with it.
For sure.
Moonsign is your emotional inner nature. So maybe for you with the Libra moon, it would be the charming, it's like a charming vibe of I do it my way. Kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
I think so. Cause I would say like, if I did pick how I dress, it's like, I go, oh, this is really like, I feel like I am like dark femme sometimes. I'm dreamy yes. sometimes. Like,
yes.
I feel, but then also like, there is a layer of like, I feel like Virgo rising, whatever way you slice it, it's boss bitch.
Literally. Like, no. Yes. That's like, the common like thread.
So you have like a little bit of like, yeah, I don't know what the right word is. But anyways, I find that interesting because we have similar things in our charts, but then, main difference.
Yeah, it's okay. So cool to see how things, like, show up a little bit differently. But moon signs.
Okay, moon signs.
Aries. I think Aries should be next.
Okay.
If you're an Aries moon, I would say exercising alone.
Yeah. I was going to say, exercising for sure. Like,
yeah.
Just getting that energy out. Like, I mean, I hate to say Aries are, like, rage machines because, again, I think Scorpio and Aries are very similar. But, yeah, exercising, I think, is a good one.
Doing some kind of, like, something that's, like, maybe impulsive or, like, a very, like plugged with a lot of energy or, like, very energetically charged.
Yeah, so it could even be, like, going, like, you know, going to sporting, like a sporting event alone, or even a group, mm-hmm. Like joining a whatever those group
fitness class
things, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, fitness class, things like that. Yeah. That's good.
Something where you're like something that has to, because Aries is ruled by Mars, and Mars is all about like aggression and like competitiveness. So anything that allows you to maybe really step into your masculine energy, but you're having fun with it, or maybe something a little competitive, but you're doing it alone, like you're doing it with yourself.
Yes, yeah,
love that.
I don't know any Aries moons. Would love
I
to
do.
Learn, like,
I know several Aries. They're very interesting people. They're very interesting. Like the their range of emotions, it's so interesting because as an Aries moon, there's a lot of intensity there. But like depending on the other like placements of their chart, it can come out in really interesting ways.
Yeah.
Like if you have an Aries moon that has a lot of Pisces placements, I think we've talked about this. It's a very quiet intensity. Like it's very intense, but the way it's like a little bit muted. I love astrology. God, this is like the best favorite conversation to have. We have Aries moon, and then we've already done Taurus. Aquarius, maybe we can do Aquarius.
Yeah, let's go. We'll go order-ish. Aquarius moon.
I would say maybe something like related to an intellectual pursuit.
Yeah,
fall
for
into
sure.
some kind of a rabbit hole with yourself. Go to the library or go to a bookstore and literally just like hang out with yourself and like explore.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know why this came into my head, but like Aquarius is like I feel like, why do I feel like Aquarius moons want to write a book? It's like whatever creative pursuit you want. It's like show up every day for 5 minutes and do the thing that you want to do.
Oh my God, wait, I actually love that. Because
like you want to write a book? 2 sentences every day. Literally. That's building trust within yourself to commitment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because Aquarius are so innovative and they have a lot of really cool, new, fascinating ideas. And something I always think about when I think of Aquarius, I think of like crazy, brilliant, eccentric inventor. That's like
me too.
What comes to mind for that. So it's like do something that allows you to step into that energy.
I love Aquarius.
It.
Yeah. There's an event here in Toronto that's called Stories I Never Told. And basically anybody can sign up and you do like 3 sessions with like different writers and you're telling a story that is like an impactful story of your life to a crowd of people and they help you craft it.
Ooh.
And then you go on a stage and you do it. I feel like that's an Aquarius moon thing. Like,
oh, that is so cute. I actually love that. I think
yeah,
that's such
amazing.
A good idea.
I know. Okay. It's the best event.
So if you're in Toronto,
there you go.
I'm
sure
if you're in Toronto and you're an Aquarius moon, you have your,
hit me up.
You have an idea. Okay. And then we have Gemini as well.
Oh, Gemini, I feel like I just, okay. I feel like,
I feel like
go.
What?
No,
what
go.
I was going to say, Gemini moons, I really feel like it's all about communication, right? That's what Gemini is all about, is giving yourself a space to share your ideas. So I think it could be really cool if you're a Gemini moon and you're looking to build a relationship with yourself, build more trust within yourself. Every day, do a video vlog of yourself, like a video diary, and just say all the thoughts that are on your mind. Nobody else has to be there to listen. It's literally just you speaking with yourself.
I love that.
Cute, right?
That's a good one. I was going to say, you know, basically that, but in a more tangible way, because I have a Gemini midheaven. So I feel like I relate to Gemini a lot, but
same.
Oh yeah. Do you have a midheaven in Gemini? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I swear. Well,
I think, cause like the way I think Geminis get so much flack for being like, quote unquote, all over the place. Cause they like many things and they're doing many things at once. I think that's the superpower, and like building trust in yourself is actually leaning in to accept that that is the superpower. So like the vlogging is a great way. I feel like for me, I do like, I have a room and I like to paint and I like to make furniture. So I just, in 1 hour, I'll rotate across both projects and do both. Yep. Like,
and that's then you're not like, beating yourself up for not sticking to one singular activity for an extended amount of time.
Yeah, it's just like, this is the way I function, and I did that for an hour, and I'm happy with it. And like learning that that's the thing that makes you special, Gemini moons.
I love, love, love that. I think that's such a good idea.
Virgo okay, Pisces moons. Moon.
Oh, okay. Pisces moon. This one's so easy, I think.
What do you think?
Why? I mean, I have an idea, but what I was going to say.
Like for me, I'm going to say because I think Pisces, the placement of Pisces moon is very sensitive, very shy and sensitive in the moon placement. So I would say it's like, again, like, why do I always feel like going on stage or something, like reading poetry? I have like a poetry night on a Friday night. It's like so intense, but like, yeah, poetry stuff. Or like, honestly, going to a party and talking to two new people. Like,
interesting.
Like, because Pisces can be really reserved, but their minds are so like active and beautiful. And I think that's how I at least have perceived Pisces moons. I don't know all of them, obviously, so they could be different. But
well, here's what I'll say, because I do know a couple of Pisces moons. I think if you're a Pisces moon and you are looking to build a like more trust within yourself, I would say give yourself space every single day to just daydream about whatever you want to daydream about. Because I'm a Pisces stellium. I have like quite a few Pisces placements. And what I like to do as well to kind of give myself like a lot of, ooh, I'm excited to do that, is I will play a song. I really connect to music a lot. I love music. And if you're a Pisces moon, odds are you probably connect a lot with music too. So it's like putting on a song that either makes you feel really powerful or makes you feel really like in the moment or like takes you to another place. Like there are certain songs that I have that like really make me feel like I'm driving on Pacific Coast Highway in California with the sunset and the water and all of that. So it's like allow yourself to be transported to a new, like some kind of other, like parallel reality through things like music or art or like imagining and daydreaming and things. And that's how you enrich your time alone, is getting lost in those other worlds. And like, I just met a new Pisces moon recently and I was like, are you or are you not the star of your own music video in your head 24/7? And she's like, oh my God, I literally fall asleep every night, like thinking about like, you know, cute little scenes and stuff. So it's like, yeah, lean into that. That's literally, that can be your superpower.
I do that too. I love hearing when people do the same thing as you. It's like, oh, sick.
So all human beings having the universal human experience.
I know. It's like TikTok. Every comment's like, I have never had an original thought. I'm like, yeah, I'm not now.
I see those all the time. And I'm like, no, literally, like nobody is original. Everything has been done before. Like you're just a repeat.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But okay. Virgo moons. I think Virgo moons also really easy.
Okay. Go ahead. You start.
I was going to say, save space every day for you to organize something.
Yeah, that's a good one. Space.
Because when Virgo moon feels organized and grounded and centered, and like that's their zen place. Like that's very much their place of like everything is going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. My whether it's like keeping your room clean and organized, or like giving yourself a way to organize in a way that feels fun, not in a way that feels like a chore.
Yeah,
that's self care.
I think that's a good one. That fits for Virgo moon 10 out of 10.
Or if it's like cleaning up your photo albums or something.
Yeah. Another good one would be, because I find Virgo moons are so, they're like, out of all the Virgo placements, they're very hard on themselves.
Self-critical. I say that all the time. That's a Virgo moon, like very distinctive.
Yeah. So I would say like doing something like once a week, or every day, whatever's like achievable, like literally writing down like 10 things that went well this week, 10 things that are great. Or like, you know, me and my friend used to do a lot, like Sunday nights we have like a little like reflective session, and we used to do Rosebud. Rosebud or Thorn or whatever. And it's like, what went well, what can we work on, whatever. That's like a very Virgo thing, but giving you a moment to like, you know, the self-development thing, which is very Virgo, but then also a reflection point of like, I'm doing great too.
Yeah, like a self-check-in, take inventory, where are we at right now? That's another form of organization, really, is like really sitting down with yourself and asking yourself, where am I at right now and where do I want to be? You can make it like a weekly mm-hmm. thing or a daily thing or whatever. Just implementing that into your routine, I think, is a good way to build that trust with yourself. Okay. What other placements are Leo moons? I've actually given advice to Leo moons. Like,
okay, go for it. Advice.
Do something every day that makes you feel like the main character. Do something every day that makes you feel like you are in the spotlight and you are literally living for it. Because I've read this thing about Leo moons, and I think it's really true. A Leo moon thrives when they feel like they're at home and they have like a camera is like all eyes on them. It's like everything, they feel like in their mind, everything is kind of, yeah, this is like my reality show, or yeah, this is like, you know. So I feel like Leo moons, it's like, if you want to literally get in front of the mirror and dance and pretend like you're the star of a music video, do that. Or if you want to be like driving in your car and feel like, you know, like,
yeah. Oh my God. I wish you could see the face. Yeah.
Oh my God. Like literally just feel like, be like, save space every day to feel like the main character. Like, yeah, you are that bitch and you get to feel like that bitch.
Even like the thing of looking in the mirror and like being like, you are that bitch. Like, yes. Mel Robbins, do you follow Mel Robbins? She has yes. 5 second rule or whatever. She had like the high five in the mirror thing where it's like, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's like you high five yourself in the mirror to like be like, you're doing great. And like after you kind of get over the kind of cheesiness of it, it's like this, it's like really this kind of like empowering thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Leo moons have to do that, but it's like, yeah, talking to yourself in the mirror and being like, you're fucking sick. Am I allowed to swear?
I've cussed a few times already. Okay, so same. Yeah, no, you're good. But it's funny because that's actually, so I teach that in the group coaching program. It's the mirror work, because connecting with your own reflection is such a powerful way to connect with yourself and really like, okay, I'm here for myself. I'm building this relationship. So it's literally like making eye contact with yourself stare into your own soul and say the things that make you feel like the main character. Or say, or like, you know, or even if it's doing your makeup really, I have my clients do this all the time. Do it like as an assignment, do your makeup very cute, like literally slay with your makeup, get your, like do your hair, wear an outfit that makes you feel like, oh my God, I'm really that girl. And literally stand in front of the mirror and practice posing. Like practice like as if you're literally in front of the red carpet or something, or it's like you're at some, like whatever the main character is for you, and just acting like embodying that in front of yourself in the mirror and like literally looking at yourself. Yeah, I'm proof. Like I'm literally doing it in front of the mirror right now. I can do it anywhere. So I think that is very Leo.
Can we just talk about quickly how if you're in feeling crappy and you actually just like do your hair, get dressed,
literally, and
you're like, wow, I actually feel better.
That's the best pick me up. Is like
it really
you
look is.
The part, you feel the part. It's so good. Okay, do we miss? Okay. Do we have
Cancer more? Moon? Cancer Moon.
Ooh, hi. Okay, what do you think?
Okay, hold on. I would say. I feel like waking up every day and doing morning pages, 3 pages of writing, just get it out. Like ooh. Cancer moons really need to, I love them dearly.
That's one of my favorite placements.
Same, very good placement. Just but
they're emotional sponges though. They do have a lot.
Huge emotional sponges. Yeah, and I think actually Cancer moons are good at doing things alone. Like they're very, you know, nurturing, all that stuff. And I think the release is really important for them. So like committing to, like, yeah, 3 days of like, and I like the morning pages. I don't know. It's from The Artist's Way, that book. I can't remember the author's name, but it's people use this a lot, but just 3 pages of, you don't even just write whatever the hell comes out. And you always do 3 pages. That's it. And you close the book and then you finish. And I think that's like a good way to release. And then like again, like build journaling. Trust of like doing, yeah, free journaling.
I love that. I think that's so good because Cancer moons definitely do take on the emotions and the, you know, energy of other people. So I agree. I think giving yourself a reliable, safe space to just get it all out so you don't have all that pent up energy and you're like carrying the resentment or whatever it is. I think an emotional purge on paper, or even if there's any other method that you would prefer that allows you to get everything out, or, you know, or if there's like a friend, I mean, this is all about building a relationship with yourself, but like making sure that you do have a support network of people where you get to say these things and talk about how you feel without having to deal with any like backlash or anything. I think that's really important.
Yeah. On that note, like another way for building trust, if like in the context of like other people, I have started with my friends, like one of my best friends, every Sunday we meet and we have not missed a beat. Like if we were ever, anybody was traveling, it was like a FaceTime thing, but we pull a card for each other. We talk about our week and we have a space where we know we can at least kind of pour out, and it's an accepted space to be like, I need to get this off my chest. Here we go. So that's like also a good, I don't know. I think that's helpful.
And it's also a sense of community, which Cancer and a sense of community, very, very important, go hand in hand. Okay, we have Sagittarius. I mean, I have so many ideas for this, but do you have anything?
Sagittarius moon. Oh, baby.
I would say something where you get to go and travel, like air quotes around travel, even if it's like a little trip to somewhere 10 minutes away where you feel like you're getting out of your usual space and exploring something new or trying new places.
I think that's good too. Like once a week you are like, I'm going to try a new restaurant. I'm going to try this. Yes. I think for Sag moons, I love Sag and their commitment to freedom. I think it's like so beautiful. Like defining what makes you free. Like what is the thing? Is it is it moving around? Do you want to feel free in your body? Maybe it's dancing more, like taking a dance class. Like what is the freedom you're searching for?
Where you feel like you're spreading your wings and you're doing whatever you want.
Yeah, because I relate a lot to Sagittarius, and I think like I can use the context of like I feel very restless in one place for sure. Like I want to, I've lived in different places. I always want to move, and that is not always possible. So I really learned to like figure out where that restless energy was coming from and finding like outlets in a smaller way to get that sense of quote unquote freedom I'm looking for. So I think that's like def very Sag move.
I think that is really great advice. Is like, what is freedom to you, and how can you practice more of that in your regular life and intentionally save space for yourself to feel free like that? Again, whether it's trying a new place, going somewhere new, dancing, feeling like you get to do whatever you want in your body. I think all of that is really, really good.
Okay, I love this, by the way. I hope we are resonating because I feel like we're nailing it. But are we? Are we nailing it? I don't know.
If I do say so myself, I just feel so.
Okay, I just have to say like, yes, I knew about astrology. I was in it. Since I met Nadia, it's like we talk about it all the time. I feel like I have become an expert also through Nadia. And now I'm like, I talk about it, I'm like, I know too much. Like, where did I even acquire this knowledge?
I literally know too much. No, it's so funny because I feel like I'm researching astrology literally all day. Like, I am an astrology nerd to the core. And like, anytime I get any random thought of like, what is the connection between someone's moon and Saturn? Let's look at that. I want to explore that. And then I look at all the aspects and I'll just do like, I just fall into the rabbit hole. It's just so fun.
It is very fun.
It's very exciting. And I also learn a lot from you too. And it's nice to have somebody who we can bounce ideas off of. Like, have you noticed that Leo moons are like that?
Yeah.
Like, what's that all about? Like, it's just so funny. Which Leo moons, no hate, love you guys. But yeah, y'all can do it.
We have some unhinged placements. And I'm the first to say I have unhinged placements myself. But there are some placements in certain areas where it's like, that is that is SOS for everybody.
Out of pocket.
Yeah. And I have out of pocket ones too.
Oh, you've got a couple of those.
I've got out of pocket ones too. Yeah.
We do have two more. We have Capricorn and Scorpio.
Okay. Cap moon. Bless that moon. I have so many Cap moon friends. That is a hard placement. It's my dear friends. They need to be more emotional. That they should push themselves to be, I think, to be more emotional. I can give a tip. My friend who's a Cap moon, sometimes she has to like analyze her feelings. So sometimes she just like researches like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. She'll like research things. Yeah. Like research them and then make notes about like trying to understand them more. I think that's really like
I love that. That's
yeah.
So cute.
It's like it's kind of like a Virgo thing too, but like, I mean, trying to understand the world, you know, through the skill that you know how to do really well, which is like research and intellectualizing things.
Yes.
Is that building trust though? Was that build trust?
I don't know, but maybe it's a safe place to analyze your emotions might be. Yeah. But it's also what I was thinking is with a Capricorn moon, I think something where they feel like they are chipping away at some kind of a project and they get to build. Because I mean, I feel like when I think of Capricorn, I think of people who like to be slow and steady, always like adding, you know, taking the steady way up the hill, but like continuously building on something. And so I think for Capricorn moons, if there's some kind of a project that you have that really brings you a lot of joy, if you don't find one, let that be your safe space of like, okay, I'm working on my puzzle right now. Like, like 3,000 piece puzzle where it's like, because it's all about the satisfaction of, oh, I finished the puzzle and it's there now. And I built so much progress. So I think that could also be an extra one is find your fun passion project and chip away at it every time. Yeah. Every time you need an emotional safe space or you feel like you need to build that trust with yourself, this is my little project between me, myself, and I that I get to just continue making progress on.
I like the puzzle one because they see the progress. I kept probably love that. And it's like something you can keep out in the open and see it all the time. Like, I think the key to building trust across all of these examples is the consistency of doing them. Like, doing it once is not enough. Like, that's why I think it's like, make a dedication to yourself daily, three times a week, once a month, whatever it is. The key to the trust part is like both the activity itself, but the commitment to yourself to do the thing you said you were going to do. That is like really important.
And it's like doing it once or twice in the grand scheme of things and then never coming back to it is not going to make any changes. This is about creating a new habit. And your habits become your personality traits. Your habits translate in your emotional patterns and your like beliefs and everything about the way that you show up. So it's like if you can continue building on that and it's also that all goes back. You're building trust. Trust is a very sacred thing that requires a lot of persistence to really build it up all the way. So it's like, and if it's also like, think about it. Are you somebody who shows up a lot for everybody else and you have really trusting relationships with everybody else, but maybe you're neglecting and abandoning yourself in that way? So I think it's about having an honest, let's look at my relationship with me. What is that like right now? Do I follow through when I say I'm going to do something?
The habits quote of like, you are your habits. Like I always say, how you live your days is how you live your life. And so I think about what did I do today? What? Because if I'm doing the same thing every day and I'm just like watching TV or this and that, I'm like not really, like how am I creating who I am, right? So I think if you just break it down to the daily of like the habits that you do, that is the, once you do it enough, it is who you are.
It literally does become who you are because it becomes innate. Like for me, for example, when I would be having, remember I said like I would feel my emotions very intensely and I would get so like, oh my God, like I don't have anywhere to process this safely and I don't have anywhere to feel this all the way through without it being scary. It's like when I was in that state, it took a lot of persistence with being like, okay, you know what? I am going to create the safety net for myself. I will be okay showing up for myself in that way. And then the more that I did that, the more it became like autopilot. It was like instinctual for me of like, okay, I know what I need now. I've taken the time to get to know myself and get to know exactly what it is that I need to feel safe. And I get to show up that way instead of like maybe expecting other people to do it for me or just, you know what I mean? It's just better
to
approach it from that way. So I think this has been such a productive conversation. I'm so excited for everyone to take a listen and really like think about their moon sign and think about their relationship with themselves. And I have been doing, so we do a limitless challenge of the week at the end of every episode, a challenge to integrate what we've talked about in the episode. And I already have a couple of ideas, but what do you think of the limitless challenge of the week should be this week?
I mean, I think for me, it's a bit obvious because we went through like all the moon signs and what everybody should do. Yeah. But I do think pick something you're going to do that you know is realistic and then do it. And I actually challenge people to do it every day or as many times as they can in the week.
7-day challenge.
Yeah, I think consistency is and discipline within consistency is like so valuable. Mm-hmm. And I think when we think of those words, it always feels like it needs to be such a big thing. Like I need to go to the gym for an hour or whatever. It does not. It could be like, I want to make myself a really nice latte because I never do that for myself and I deserve it. So I'm going to make it every day this week. It could be as simple as that. It could be, writing in your journal. It could be painting a painting, big or small. It that's not the point. It's just the point of showing up for yourself in a way that, feels good for you, that pushes you. And I mean, we give some examples with the moon signs.
And we did give a lot of good ones. But I think also what you said about habits is really important, or like discipline. This isn't about forcing yourself to do something that you know is good for you, but it's not enjoyable. This is finding the line, like where the lines cross there of what's enjoyable that's also good for me. Yes. That's why I tell my clients all the time is like, when I'm giving you homework, it should never feel like homework because everything you're doing is something that feels good for you. And that's why you're inclined to do it. It's not that it's like, oh shit, I have to meal plan and I have to do all this, you know, because that's what's good for me or that's what I need to do, even though I hate it. It's like, no, it's about making it enjoyable. That's the act of self-love, is doing something that feels good, not something that you were forced to do. So I think, and I actually call it within like my coaching sphere, I call it happy triggers.
Oh yeah, I know you've told me about this. I still do mine daily.
I love it. And everybody I've talked to about that, we all have our daily happy triggers. And I think it's so important to remind yourself that you need to have something to come home to every day, where it's like, mm-hmm. this is my joyful, fun place to be. So I actually have a happy triggers guide that I can put attached for everybody in the comments below. So you have the happy trigger guide. Do one happy trigger every single day for the next 7 days and notice the difference in how you feel. Notice if there's any shifts in like how you feel about yourself and your relationship with yourself, and start looking at your moon sign and get to know yourself from that angle of, what does my moon sign say about my relationship with myself, and how can I use that as a reference point? I think that's perfect. What do you think?
Yes. Yay. I love it. Can I ask, just ending, what is your happy trigger?
I have several happy triggers, actually. And yes. I just unlocked a new one. Oh my God. It was yesterday. It's just so fun. But I basically, so my everyday happy trigger is obviously either going to Starbucks, or lately it's also been Kung Fu Tea to get bubble tea. But every day I like to get one like drink for myself, where it's like, mm-hmm. I get my drink. Cause I mean, I work at home all day and I'm huge workaholic. So it's like being able to detach, go out for a drive and just go get like a fun drink. Love that. I also yes. lately every single morning, and I'm so grateful that I get to do this with my schedule, because like obviously I get to like set my own hours and stuff, but I wake up every morning now and I drive to a lake. It's so beautiful. And I get to just sit in nature, listen to the birds, watch the birds, journal in the sun, like sunbathe for a little bit.
Love that.
Yes. Oh my God. That has done. And it's actually interesting, because as a Taurus moon, I mean, everybody loves connecting with nature, but as a Taurus moon, what I love about that experience is it's a sensory experience. I get to see the colors all around me. I get to see the water. I get to see the very picturesque. I get to hear the birds. I get to hear the sounds of nature, and like feel myself like basking in the sun. So it's like that has been, and I just journal. I just set my intentions for the day, and I'm like, okay, what am I open to receiving today? What am I grateful for today? What's my mantra or my affirmation of the day? So that has been another happy trigger. And the one that I unlocked yesterday, I sit all day when I'm working, and it's so like, I don't get to get my steps in because I literally am sitting all day. So I bought myself a little treadmill walking pad that I can put under my desk. And now I get like walk while I'm working, but that's not the happy trigger. The happy trigger part of that is I actually just recorded a TikTok yesterday. I had my Leo moon moment. I'm actually a Leo North Node, so this makes sense. But I dressed up in a dress that I was sent, a brand sent it to me. It was like a very glamorous looking dress. And I put heels on, and I went on the treadmill. I set up my camera in front, and I literally pretended I was on a runway. And it was so fun.
Okay, I love it.
I was playing my bad bitch music, and I was literally just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm in my element right now. This is so fun. I have my makeup done and my hair done, so those have been my happy triggers.
I love that trend. I love that like walkway. That's amazing.
I know. Very and good. What about you? What are your happy triggers lately?
I have also a few. I think the one that we talked about a year ago when you introduced me to happy triggers, mm-hmm. I picked, because I try not to go too much on social media, especially first thing. And I do when I go on social media, I pick my healthy one, which is mm-hmm. Pinterest. I'm a Pinterest bitch. Yes. Like I'm a visual girl. So, and I'm working on many visual projects. So that is just like fun for me. Like I love it. It's like new ideas, like blah, blah, blah. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I also, for me, I have a lot of energy in my body. So movement's really important. Like, you know, morning walks or whatever, but I definitely put music on, like my best headphones where it's like noise canceling, and I literally just like listen to music and just like,
oh, I love it.
You know, do, you know, get into my character, like strutting around my house doing my thing. Yes! And I do that all the time too. It's so much fun.
That is so cute. And it can be so simple. It can literally
it's super simple.
So you don't have to spend money. You don't have to go really far away. It's literally the little things that you're doing in your everyday that add that little spark of like, ooh, I'm excited to be living my life as me right now. So yes, this has been such a great episode. Monica, thank you so, so much for coming on here, sharing your wisdom, and
I love
just
it.
Being such an amazing presence.
Thank you for having me, and also being such a beautiful friend. I am so grateful and lucky.
Aww, I feel so grateful to be your friend too. I'm so glad that we met. And by the way, I will be linking all of Monica's, like the links to her Instagram if you want to check her art out. She's an incredibly talented artist. So I'll link her Instagram. I'll link all of that information. And then you guys will also have the happy trigger guide that I will attach for you to start doing your happy triggers and start really connecting with yourself and building that relationship with yourself. So with that, Monica, thank you again for joining. Yay. And we will see you all in next week's episode. Have a great week, everyone.